the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, well, welcome to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. Again, we took a week or so off just with travel and different things going on, but we are back at it. And actually, it's exciting. This Sunday at our church, we're doing a Hot Seat Sunday, so basically answering questions from people in our congregation about the Bible and life and culture and what it means to follow Jesus. And so we've got almost 40 questions so far, and there's no way we'll be able to answer all of those. And so after this podcast, which we're going to talk about prayer, for the next however many podcasts, we're going to just be going through those leftover questions that we weren't able to get to on Sunday. And so that'll be exciting and fun to just wrestle with tough stuff, I guess. But this morning for this podcast, we want to talk about prayer and basically asking, you know, what is prayer? How do you pray? Why should we pray? And just really wrestle with that through scripture of this importance of prayer. So Don, why don't you start, and we'll start with the what. You know, what is prayer? If there was a definition of prayer, I don't know, what would you say prayer is?
Yeah, and even the most basic definition is basically talking to God, communicating with God. That's what prayer is. So sometimes we think it's this really formal thing or something we have to do just right, but it's basically just talking to your Heavenly Father just in a very natural way, as you would with a friend or your own father. A more biblical definition, I found one that's really good, is Christian prayer in its full New Testament meaning is prayer addressed to God as Father, in the name of Christ as mediator, and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. And just to kind of define that, we come to God as our Father, and we're going to look at this, the model prayer. The disciples asked Jesus when they were watching him pray, they said, "Teach us to pray." They obviously saw something in Jesus that was totally different, and so he gave them a model prayer. And what's cool is the first line, he says, this is how you should pray, Father. And that's the privilege we have as God's children. We don't call him king or supreme ruler, which he is. We're supposed to address him as Father.
Yeah.
But it's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we have other verses like Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place, which is the presence of the Father, by the blood of Jesus. So it's because of what Jesus did, we can call God our Father and have access to Him.
Yeah.
And it's through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to pray, teaches us how to pray. It puts us in communion with God on a daily basis. And so it's just really neat how prayer is, this constant communication with, you know, our Creator, who we call Father. So
yeah, no, and I think there's lots of theological things around prayer, but I like that, like, most basic, yeah, it's, I think, yeah, it's intimacy with God, it's talking to Him, it's listening to Him, it's just... And I kind of think, too, of, you know, my relationship with my wife. Yeah, we're married, but if I never talked to her and never got to know her, like, that'd be a pretty lousy relationship. Yeah. And yet, the amazing thing about the being husband and wife is that you have this incredible intimacy, and you sit, and you talk, and you get to know them, and you dialogue with them. And I think, really, prayer is intimacy with God, dialoguing with Him, talking to Him, worshiping Him. And like you said, it's amazing that we even have the privilege, like, to call God our Father, to be able to speak to the Creator of the universe. Yeah. Like, that's unreal. Like Romans 8 talks about, you know, you didn't receive a spirit of fear to fall back into slavery. You've received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is like a super intimate word in the Greek. Yeah. that's basically like daddy, father. And we go, really? We get to talk to God like that? And he's our dad, our heavenly dad, and we can come to him. And I think of even my relationship with my earthly dad. I can go to him and talk to him, and you go, that's what we get with God. Like, that's unreal.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I think that's a great definition. It's talking to God. It's talking with God. I guess base definition, what is prayer? I think that covers it pretty well. Yeah. So I don't know, like, how do you do this? Because I like what you said that, you know, I think a lot of people have this, oh, dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord of lords and hosts of hosts who dwells in the high, I think a lot of people have that view, like, ooh, okay, I better say the right. There was this video that that we watched as a youth group back when I was a youth pastor, and I forget what it was called, but basically it was like a mock advertisement that you could hire a professional. So it showed a guy at his kitchen table, and he's just sitting there. He's going, Oh God, would you help me in my marriage? And then it has the guy behind him, and he's going to interpret for the poor sap that doesn't know how to pray. Oh, Lord of hosts, beseech thee. And it was just hilarious because I think, you know, as funny as it is, I think sometimes we have that view. And I've heard this, I don't know how to pray. Like, I don't feel comfortable. What if I don't say the right thing? And we have this view of prayer being this really intimidating thing that only pastors or elders or... Mm-hmm. super Christians know the right words to like manipulate God. And it's like, man, that is so missing the point of what it's supposed to be. There are no right words. Like I even had one guy who said, you know, well, remember, if you don't at the end of your prayer say in the name of Jesus, then God can't hear you. And I went, really? Like, I get the idea that we pray in Jesus' name, but really, if I forget, then God doesn't listen to me. And I think we place these rules that just really don't exist about prayer. But I don't know. So how do we do this, I guess? How do you pray? I don't know. If you want to share from your own life, Don, like how, you know, in your however many years of following Jesus, how have you figured this out? Like how do you pray, I guess, personally?
Yeah. I guess just to add a thought to what Andrew was saying, like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about prayer, and he really rebuked especially the Pharisees, the religious leaders, because they thought with lots of words and high-sounding words, they would have access to God, and Jesus said that is the furthest from the truth.
Yeah.
He said, as a matter of fact, go into your closet, cry out to God, and that prayer will be heard. All that other stuff, even God has no time for, because it's not real. It's not what God's looking for. I remember even, you know, becoming a believer at age 10 and just having this very, very intimate communion with God. Like I just prayed knowing he was there. And it's for me, it's always been that way. There's times where I struggled, like, are you hearing me? I know you're there, but are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But a very intimate prayer life has always been there. So even now over the years, I always start every morning. This is going to sound holy and all that, but it's just just how I've developed talking to God, so I don't want it to sound that way. I love to start in the morning on my knees and just really follow a model that Jesus taught us. And maybe we'll look at that yet too, but just to thank God, praise him for who he is and what he's done for us, just to kind of align myself with his way and thinking and just spend some time talking to him. For me, just being on my knees is just, it just says, God, I call you Father, but you're the King. You are my Creator, and I bow before you and acknowledge that. And spend some time talking to God, and also love to end the day in the same position, on my knees, thanking him for the day, confessing sin if I need to make things right with him. But I just find it so, it's just a real conversation with God, just a kind of a natural talking to God. It's not a formal thing or I got to do it just right. God is listening. So also learning how to listen to God. God also wants to speak to us as we pray and talk to Him. He also wants to talk to us. So learning how to listen what He wants to say, and it might be through His Word. It might even be thoughts that I get that I'm trying to discern. Is that from God or where did that come from?
Right.
So
that's how things... we'll get to that. You're jumping the gun here.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to jump the gun, but you asked what I did, so I'm telling you. So yeah, it's just really developed in just to communicating with God, praising Him, worshiping Him, and also telling Him what's on my heart and needs I have or requests I have for family and for situations and just this communication, communion with God.
Yeah, I think it's neat when we talk about how to pray. I mean, Jesus very clearly laid out different aspects of prayer, whether it's worship and adoration and just praising God for who He is, what He's done. And then, bringing your requests and asking Him for... Now, we have to be careful, not just for thing like, oh, give me a new bike or whatever, right? But asking Him for needs and family, like interceding for people, family members, sickness, things going on in your life. It's like a earthly father. Like, you would bring your requests to your earthly dad and say, Dad, this is what I need, this is what I'm struggling with. Same kind of thing that we would bring that to our Heavenly Father. And then, part of it is repentance and keeping short accounts with Him. And this is where I've messed up, God, forgive me. And maybe we'll just kind of walk through that. Personally, for me, prayer is always an area that I've wrestled with. And it's not I'm still growing. It's not a strong, I love the reading of God's Word. Prayer is a discipline that I really not struggle with, because I mean, I do it, but it's just one of those disciplines that I haven't fine-tuned or whatever, and I know I need to grow in it. But what I do a lot is when I do read the Word, I do spend time in prayer. I have found it really neat at times to actually pray the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I read a psalm, to actually write it out and pray it myself. I'll tell you, recently, kind of in January, was just going through a dry, spell or whatever you call it spiritually. I was just like, man, I had no desire to read my Bible. It was just kind of one of those, man, I just feel so dry. And then Psalm 63... I read that and I was like, that's exactly what I feel right now, or that I want to feel right now, right? My soul thirsts for You, my flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And I said, God, I feel like I'm in a dry. So then I wrote out Psalm 63 and just started praying it for myself. I found that so awesome, because I mean, the Psalms are prayers. And so just started praying that. That's a neat exercise to pray Scripture. Sometimes when I drive to work or I walk, a lot of times I walk to work in the morning, and I'll just pray while I'm walking or when I'm walking home. And I'm trying to make it more of a habit of just that running dialogue of when you have a moment or when you have those minutes of silence and your brain can all of a sudden... daydream about all sorts of stuff, that I'm like, okay, I'm going to use this opportunity to pray. And there's been times with our youngest daughter, more so when she was up a lot in the night. Okay, well, I'm sitting here rocking my daughter back to sleep, and not every time, because sometimes I'm just, go to bed. But there's been a handful of times when all of a sudden this impression came on me, and I know it was from the Spirit of, hey, you should pray right now. And I go, okay, so it's 3 a.m, I'm awake, I might as well, I have to be quiet anyway. It's like, I'm trying to put this baby back to sleep. And so just to pray pray in those moments that you have. And I think that's part of that, you know, pray without ceasing, that running dialogue where when you have moments to pray, to try and do that. So that's kind of what my prayer life looks like, I guess.
It is a discipline. And I'm not saying either for me, it's always easy to just get on my knees every morning and pray. And there's challenging times. There's times, when it's dry. And I know there's times where it's like the disciples, they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray.
Yeah.
They saw something in Jesus. They knew, oh, we're going to need help with this. So, I mean, that's a prayer I pray too. Teach me how to pray and how to commune with you. And to be, like Andrew was saying, be aware of those times when you're twiddling your thumbs for half an hour or you got some downtime that's actually a great time to pray and pray for other people or whatever. So,
So, I mean, Jesus teaches us how to pray. I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, or in Luke 2, his disciples come and ask him, hey, teach us how to pray. And I mean, they're the same. They're similar. But in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, pray then like this. This is verse 9 of Matthew 6. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I think this is the Luke ones, but thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Or is that something we've just added in as church people? It's not a bad thing, but there we go. So, and I think to the point that Jesus, I mean, probably if you grew up in church, you memorized that, whatever, in the King James, thine be the whatever, lead us not into temptation. But I don't think the point that Jesus is saying is every day you pray this exact same thing. I mean, it's a good thing to memorize it and know it, but I think we'd be missing the point if every day we only prayed those exact words and that was it. I think what Jesus is doing is giving us kind of a model, I guess. I don't know, Don, you were talking. Why don't you start with, you know, Jesus specifically starts with focusing on God. So why don't you talk for a minute about that kind of aspect of prayer, I guess?
Yeah, one thing, like even this model of prayer, I just find it's just so comforting and just exciting that Jesus, the first thing he tells us to do is to address God as Father. And it says, our Father in heaven, and it sounds like he's way up there, but for me, it just see this picture of my Father watching over us from above, like he's actively involved in watching over us, and we call him Father. So, I mean, that's just such an encouragement that Jesus said, this is how you start. And then the first thing Jesus tells us to do is to hallowed be your name, which is just giving God honor and seeing him as holy, as perfect, as our creator, and basically worshiping him and then asking for his kingdom to come and his will be done. Like his will is what we're going for and what we're asking for in everything. So everything kind of gets filtered through that. As our Father, he knows best. So we're submitting to his will. But then he also tells us to pray about our daily bread. So he's encouraging us to bring our requests, our needs to him. And so it's not that we don't do that. We come to him to bring our needs. And he knows that as human beings, as broken, we're going to deal with sin. We're living in a sinful world. And here he says, forgive us our sins as we have also forgiven those who sin against us. And this is kind of a continual thing. Jesus recognizes that we are going to have to come to him for cleansing every day. And so sometimes we get hung up, oh, we got to come again for confession and sin. And Jesus says, no, come, we're waiting for you kind of thing. We want this open communication.
Yeah.
And then I love the last part too, that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God is actively wanting to be involved in our lives to help us to leave sin behind, to being more and more like Jesus. Hmm. And all this is coming to our Father. And so that's just a real encouragement from Jesus when they ask him to teach them how to pray. He gives us a model. And I think, like Andrew said, it's not like we got to say this word for word. Yeah. And in the Greek, preferably, because that's really powerful. Then, but kind of to model, and Paul says this in Philippians 4:4-8 as well, kind of the same thing. We come bringing our requests, our supplications with thanksgiving. So that's kind of praising him, thanking him, and anticipating that he actually wants to hear from us and he wants to deal with our requests.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very encouraging. I know maybe this is a good time to say it, that a lot of us have come to God. We've prayed, we've brought a request to him, and he told us no, or he did something. He didn't seem like he didn't even listen. So we just give up. Hmm. And we become discouraged. And some of you are there where, well, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even know if I want to pray.
Yeah.
Because is he actually listening and caring? And Jesus says a firm yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's our Father in heaven. So it is a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. No, and I think it's neat that Jesus starts with the focus on God, because I think I'm really good at the whole, give me my daily bread.
Or start in the middle.
I need this. Help me with this. Help me. And that's fine. But I think far more important than that, this is kind of my conviction, is that far more important than just here's all my needs is, do we actually do that? Like, hallowed be your name. Like, hallowed means holy. Like, do we actually just sit sometimes? Hmm. And for me, like, I don't. So this is where the convicting, like, do we just sit and worship God in our prayer? Like, this is thinking about what he's done and who he is and how great he is. Like, well, I was at a conference in Vancouver in March, and Francis Chan, his first talk that he gave was about intimacy with God. And he asked, like, if you, for the past month, if they printed out a transcript of all your prayers, like, what would you see? And I just went, oh. Because it is a lot of, like, God, I need this, I need that, and help me with it. And I just thought, man, there's not a whole lot in my life of just, like, God, you're holy. God, you are awesome. You are majestic and glorious. And even, like, you know, reading passages and meditating on how holy and awesome God is. Like, I love that Jesus starts with that. Like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. That, like, there's nothing about us in there. Mm. It's very God-centered. And so trying to hold the balance, like, I don't think we say, well, I can never bring any of my requests to God. No, I think there's this balance. But if we're really honest, I think most of us tip towards, we just bring requests to God. And so that's where I've been convicted lately. Just when you pray, just worship God and just start with that. Just center on who he is, and then out of that say, okay, and here, God, these are the things that I'm feeling like I need in my life, and, you know, praying for my mom and praying for my family and this and that. But I think it is important to have that balance of just, let's just worship God and just speak truth of who he is back to him and just worship him. And
yeah, and even the next line is, you know, just as challenging. It's like, your kingdom come, your will be done. It really gives God the right to do his will. And as our Father, it's going to be good. But even to before you begin any requests and all that, to actually say, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come, and I want to be actively involved in your kingdom today.
Yeah.
And my, you know, requests in my life to be promoting your kingdom.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a struggle sometimes too, that this is all about God.
Yeah, and I think when you pray like that, it changes then.
Definitely.
Your requests, because it's like, okay, your will be done. Do I really need this? You know, like, do I have to pray for more money in the bank or whatever it is? Because when you're praying in the will of God, it changes how you pray, I think, because you go, so it's not really about, you know, but it's both, right? Where God tells us, pray for your needs, but maybe your needs are not really, your wants, because it's like God says, you know, seek first the kingdom and then I will take care of you, basically. In Matthew 7. Nope. This is bad. Wherever that is, oh man, that's bad.
While he's looking, this is where we get often get stuck, because we're, you know, well, if we're just praying for God's will to be done, it's all about him. Like, why pray? He's gonna just do what he wants. You know, I throw my little feeble prayers up, and I just want to read something from Luke 11. After Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, then a little while later, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In another gospel, it says, give good gifts to those who ask him. And God is actively wanting to answer prayers, but it is according to his will. And Andrew mentioned that it's sometimes our needs and wants are a little bit different. So
yeah, and it's at the end of Matthew 6, because Jesus is talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I think, yeah, Jesus is saying that, you know, we chase after all these things. God, I need this, I need food, I need water, and he's saying, okay, that's great, but, you know, seek my kingdom first, and I'll take care of you. But again, it's like you might be drinking tap water instead of bottled water, because you don't really need that, right? It's like what you actually need, I will provide for you. You don't need steak every night. I will give you, right? Maybe spaghetti. But it's that idea of, and that's why Jesus starts. It's your kingdom come. It's your will be done. When we're so focused on his, and then we ask for our daily bread, of course he's going to take, like, we don't have to stress about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, because he takes care of us. But it's just the order of our priorities, I guess. I think it would be good too to, and we kind of, we've alluded to it a few times, but the whole idea of why pray, sometimes it doesn't really seem like God is listening. God already knows everything anyways. So, you know, because even in Matthew 6, verse 8, do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So some people can say, well, then why do I need to ask him? So I don't know. What are some responses to that? Like, okay, we know what prayer is. We know how to pray. But really, why? Why would we do that?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, because I know we said that already. We get burnt a couple times and we don't pray. Part of we should pray is because God does want to develop intimacy between us and God. He wants us to communicate with him. I think part of prayer too, and why Jesus starts our Father in heaven, is that we want to get to know him in such a powerful, personal way, that he is a God of love and that he cares, that when we pray, even when we don't get a request the way we prayed it, that we still, God is still good. He's still loving, and we keep praying. I know we have Jesus gives a parable in Luke 18 about the persistent widow, and Jesus describes this judge who doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about man, and there's this little old woman that keeps coming to him to get justice for her situation, and he finally, you know, after her persistence, he gives her her request. So he's going to give her justice, because otherwise she's going to wear me out, even though he doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about men, but because this woman's going to drive me crazy, I'm going to give her her request. So it says, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. And then he gives this interesting phrase at the end. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And maybe part of that is, will people actually persistently pray and keep asking, or will they give up? And it, in our microwave culture, it is so hard. If we have to pray more than 10 minutes, well, obviously it's not going to work and just give up. And sometimes God wants us to bear down and pray and keep praying.
Yeah.
There's a battle going on, and prayer is part of wrestling through this battle to get to the answer. And we know from Scripture there's times where prayer is going to be tough and long, and it's going to take hard work. But if you're willing to persevere, God is listening. He is working on an answer. Sometimes it seems like God's hands are almost tied until we get to serious prayer, and then He answers. So there's a few things going on there.
Yeah, and I so agree with you that our culture is very, I want results fast, instant. And even when we say, well, it doesn't, He didn't answer my prayer. I mean, God always answers. It's not always what you want, but He always answers. So we pray for things and God says yes, or sometimes He says no. And the frustrating part is a lot of times we don't know why He says no until much later, or, you know, when we die and we figure, oh, that's why, right? When we pass into eternity, we understand. But God always answers prayer. But yeah, that can be the frustrating part when it's like, oh, I got to pray for more than 5 minutes about this thing. Like I have a friend that's been praying for his parents to become Christians for like 20 years and they haven't yet. And, you know, all the time he is praying that his mom and dad would come to know Jesus. And I've talked to him and like, yeah, it's frustrating. He's like, why hasn't God answered my prayer yet? And he doesn't know, but he just persistently keeps praying that his mom and dad would come to know Jesus. And so, yeah, the why of prayer, I think it is to develop that intimacy with God, but also like prayer is powerful. Like James 5 talks about the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. And he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. Like I love that James says, Elijah was a guy just like you. He wasn't like we can't, yeah, he was a great prophet, but we can't elevate him to saint like James says. He was just like you, and yet he prayed fervently that it wouldn't rain, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. So that's powerful.
Yeah.
Like I think that we have to understand that the when we pray, it's not, well, God already knows, so why pray? Yeah, you know what? God does already know, but I think there's this compatibility between the sovereignty of God, and He already has a plan, and He knows, and yet the prayers that we offer up to God, they have an impact.
Yeah.
So we can't, I think there's danger in to fall into both, well, God's sovereign, He already knows, so I shouldn't pray, or to think, well, I'm manipulating God through my prayers. Both are wrong. It's kind of in this middle thing that, yes, God is sovereign, and He knows, but also God listens to your prayers, and they have an effect on what's happening, I guess. It's kind of both. So to think, why pray? Well, because you're getting to know God in a deeper way. And when we pray, like we trust that God listens and that He will answer. Like even earlier in James 5, it's, you know, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Call for the elders, pray over them, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Like, so we do that, and we don't do it and say, well, yeah, it kind of says to do that, but we don't believe. Like, no, when we pray, we believe that God will heal people or that God will provide or that God will move. So that's why we pray, because the Bible says that there's power in our prayers.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes the power is, like you're saying, we don't see a result and we think nothing happened, but there is stuff happening. Yeah, and as we're kind of getting close to the end here, I guess I would just offer an encouragement to read John, like 1 John chapter 4. Just it describes God as a God of love, like He is love, And in John chapter 1, verse 5, it says that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Sometimes we think God is up to no good when he doesn't answer our prayers. He just seems to be quiet. But there's no darkness in him. He never does evil. Like he never, when we're praying, it's always in light. It's always in love for our best and for his glory and his kingdom. It's always good.
Yeah.
So whether it's an immediate answer, which often happens, or it's wait, or it's no, he never changes, even though for us it can be frustrating and we give up praying because, well, obviously it doesn't work. So I don't know.
And then, just to end, like for those who maybe wrestle with prayer life to even, I know the tendency is, I'm going to pray an hour every morning, like and jump to that extreme and then you do it for 2 days and then you get discouraged or whatever. But just to start by like a step in the right direction is just pray for however long, just pray, just talk to God. If you need help, like read some of the Psalms and then just read them out loud and pray them to God. Like Psalm 96 is a great Psalm of worshiping God. Psalm 145 is great. Like so many of the Psalms are just, here's why God is so awesome. So pray those and just develop that, when you have a few minutes here and there, pray. And as you drive, turn off the radio and pray. And I think those are kind of the steps that we need to take. Not say, okay, well, for an hour straight every morning, I'm going to go into my prayer closet and pray. That's great if you get up to that. That's awesome. That should be the goal, right? But to start by just saying, no, I'm just going to start praying. And however long that is, I'm just going to start developing that conversation with God. So be encouraged. Don't... like if you struggle with prayer life, join the club and don't be discouraged, but just say, okay, well, like do something about it. It's a discipline. So take those steps and say, okay, well, I'm just going to start praying when I have those times and start developing that. And
God has no problem with us saying, God, I have no desire to pray. It might be a prayer like the disciples said, teach me to pray. Be honest. That's what God wants. That's what prayer is. It's honest communication with God, and he knows it already. So,
Awesome. Well, hopefully this has been helpful for you, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.